Well, good evening. Go ahead and keep your Bibles there in Mark chapter 5. Place a bookmark or ribbon. We're going to be primarily focusing on that text this evening. Appreciate Brother Lesson reading the first four verses. Verses 1 through 20 will be our primary text tonight. I trust that everyone had a wonderful afternoon. It's so good to be in your presence once again. As we continue our look tonight at encounters with Jesus, remember from our time together this morning, John chapter 8, the encounter that Jesus had with an adulterous woman, and in Mark chapter 2, in our Sunday morning worship period, Jesus' encounter with the paralytic and his four friends. This evening we'll look at Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, and the question I want us to consider again tonight is, how does Jesus affect you? We don't encounter Jesus the same way that they back then encountered Jesus. But we do have a relationship with Jesus. We encounter him in terms of what we read of him in the scriptures, the impact that he makes on our lives. So how does he affect you? That's what I want us to consider this evening. But let's go ahead and set the scene for this story and look above in chapter 4. I want to begin there in chapter 4 in verses 35 through 41. If you're taking notes, Luke chapter 8, 26 through 39 is the parallel passage to Mark chapter 5. We're going to reference that passage in Luke chapter 8 throughout the course of our time together. But Mark 5 will be our primary text. But if you look at the latter part of Mark 4, this is a familiar story to most of us. On the same day, beginning of verse 35, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side," that being Jesus. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, being Jesus, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now we can picture this scene in our minds. Jesus and his disciples, they're in a boat. They're going across the Sea of Galilee. A great windstorm hits. The boat fills with water. Jesus simply rebukes the wind and tells the sea to be quiet. And at his word, everything calms. And this brings fear into the disciples because they realize they're in the presence of the Lord. Now, what's interesting to note, in verses 40 and 41, Jesus says, "Why are you so fearful?" And then verse 41 says, "And they feared exceedingly." Those are two different fears in the Greek. The word that's used in verse 40 is one of timidity, one of being afraid. But then once they realized the power of Jesus, that they were in the presence of Jesus, they feared exceedingly. In other words, they respected Jesus and they revered who he was and the power that he could deliver. They were no longer fearful of the storm. They were fearful of the Savior. And that's important to note as we continue on in our story. Jesus goes then from taming the sea to taming a wild man. Let's go ahead and read the first 13 verses of this healing. They come to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. No sooner than Jesus has stepped out of the boat, a man with an unclean spirit comes out of the tombs to him. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. Verse 5, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. This man lives around the tombs. Luke 8, verse 27 says, he wore no clothes. And people had repeatedly used shackles use those shackles and chains, but he tore them apart. That's how strong he was. Verse 4 tells us that no one was strong enough to subdue him. Brethren, this is a picture of someone with great power. It is also a picture of someone who is hopeless. The unclean spirit is too strong. No one can help him. No one is strong enough to help this man. His behavior is self-destructive, a pitiable condition, crying out, cutting himself with stones. So, who is this demon-possessed man? What does he do when he sees Jesus? Verses 6 through 8. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. He cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." And he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." This man sees Jesus from afar. He runs and he worships him. In Luke chapter 8, verse 28, he tells us that he fell down before him. So this man who has great power to destroy shackles and chains, he falls down at the feet of Jesus. He confesses who Jesus is. "You are the Son of the Most High God." He begs, "Leave me," to leave him alone. That being the spirit. No one could stop this powerful unclean spirit besides Jesus. He begs not to be tormented. He has no power over his fate. He has no power over his future before Jesus. And all that he can do is beg. Verse 9 and 10. "What is your name?" Jesus says. And he answers, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. His name is Legion, for we are many. The begging continues, 11 and 12. "Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain. So all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us to the swine so that we may enter them.'" A spirit so powerful, yet in verse 13, Jesus grants permission. He begged them, verse 13, I'm sorry. "And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out, entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea." Jesus is the one who has the power. Jesus is the one who's in control here. This powerful unclean spirit, although they are many, is powerless in the presence of Jesus. They needed the permission from Jesus. So as Mark details for us, they enter a herd of pigs and they rush down a steep bank into the sea and they drown. All those unclean spirits with such intense power suddenly meet their demise, based on a sentence uttered from the lips of Jesus. Nothing can challenge Jesus. Nothing can overthrow Jesus. They have no power in the presence of Jesus. Well, the story's not over. There's a lot more to come. The people's response. Let's read verses 14 through 17. "So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what had just happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him," being Jesus, "to depart from their region." The herdsmen told the city and the countryside what happened. And the people, they come to see it for themselves. They came to Jesus. They saw this one who had been demon-possessed sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. Now, you would think this would be a call for celebration, an opportunity to rejoice. This man has been cleansed from this unclean spirit. He is sitting there clothed and in his right mind. But did you notice the people's response? Latter part of verse 15, and they were afraid. They were afraid. They experienced fear. And the question is, what will they do with that fear? Remember from the story, the very end of Mark chapter 4. The disciples were fearful in the boat. And eventually that fear led them to have faith in Jesus. Now these people are afraid because of the power that they had just witnessed from the hand of Jesus. What would their response be? In verse 17, they began to plead with him to depart from their region. Go away, leave us alone. And their fear deprived them of great blessings. Their fear deprived them of a relationship with Jesus. So how do you think Jesus is going to respond to that? Is he going to try to win them over? How about I perform another miracle? Will that convince you? Should I preach to you condemnation? Well, verse 18, the very first part of verse 18, and when he got into the boat, Jesus gives them what they want. He gets back into the boat. They are fearful. They plead with him to leave them alone, and Jesus gives them exactly what they want. He doesn't try to preach another message. He doesn't try to perform another miracle to convince them. Jesus has every intention now to go away, to leave, to give them what they want. There's a lesson in there for us. If I don't want Jesus in my life, Jesus will leave us to live a condemned life. And that fear led them to reject Jesus. And that type of fear can lead us to reject Jesus as well. So many people choose that path, just like the townspeople here in this story. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Let me give you an example of this. Romans chapter 1. Let's read together verses 21 through 25. Romans chapter 1, 21 through 25. If I want to live whatever life I want to live, God will allow me to live that life. He will allow me to go down that path. And that's exactly what happens here in Romans chapter 1, beginning of verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Jump back to verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God has been revealed against this type of response. I choose to go down the path I want to go down. And Paul states, we read verse 24, look with me in verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God of their knowledge, God gave them over. God gave them up. God gave them over. In other words, he allowed them to do what they wanted to do. But it's important to note the phrasing of those three verses, 24, 26, and 28. God did not give up on them. Paul says, God gave them up to do what they wanted to do. But God did not give up on them. Sadly, this reaction that we find in the people's response is a reaction many have when recognizing the great authority and power that Jesus possesses. Because I want to rule my life and I want to do what I want to do. If that's the decision that I make, God will allow that to occur. However, the story still is not over, because that leaves us with the man's response. Turn back to the centerpiece text in Mark chapter 5. We read the very first part of verse 18. Let's continue reading of verse 18. He who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Verse 19, however, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. He departed and began to proclaim at Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Fortunately, that scene is not over. He is begging Jesus to go with him. This man, now being free of unclean spirits, begs to follow Jesus. Now flip a couple pages over to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, I want to show you this connection between the very end of Mark 5, or this text, and Mark 3, verse 14. Verse 14. And then he, being Jesus, appointed 12, the 12 disciples, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. Now there's a phrase within that text I want you to take close notice of. That they might be with him. Now let's go back to our text in Mark 5. Mark 5 and verse 18, Mark says that this man begged Jesus that he might be with him. That is significant to note. That is significant to note because that phrase, they might be with him and that he might be with him, is significant because that man wanted to be as close to Jesus as he possibly could be. And that phrase is translated as a privilege, an honor. And that is the type of connection that this man wanted to have with Jesus, to walk closely with him, because he was so grateful for what Jesus had done for him. But he gives him an instruction instead. He gives him an instruction. Go home to your friends, tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. How does the man respond? He departed and began to proclaim all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. He does exactly what Jesus commands him to do. He goes and proclaims all that Jesus had done for him, and the response of those who would hear, they marveled. They marveled. So I ask this evening as we close, can we follow the same instruction? It's a very simple instruction. Can I stay where I am at, where you are at, and tell those around us how much the Lord has done for you and how much he has shown mercy on you? You know, there are those who think, well, I'm just not doing enough for the Lord. And, you know, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a Bible class teacher. I'm not traveling the world being an evangelist. What can I do? Is there anything for me to do in the kingdom? And I would suggest this is a good place to start. Just tell people about what Jesus has done for you and the tenderness and compassion that he's shown to you. We all have a circle of influence. Now, if you're a stay-at-home mom, or you're retired, or you're a shift worker, whatever your season of life is right now, It's all the Lord is asking you to do. Tell others what Jesus has done for you and how he has shown mercy on you. So I would encourage you and challenge you as you go back out into the world this week with work and school and your neighborhood and your everyday responsibilities, think about this instruction and how you can fulfill this commandment just as this demon-possessed man who was healed fulfilled this commandment. You know, in this miracle, we see victory. The victory that Jesus has over evil forces. Here is a man who could do nothing to help himself, completely consumed by this unclean spirit. As we read from the story, this power is great. And no one can do anything to help him except Jesus. Jesus has the power and the ability to rescue this man from this unclean spirit. And now, he's in his right mind at the end of the story. His desire is to follow Jesus. But as we see from the responses, the people's response to plead with Jesus to go away, or the man's response, a desire to follow Jesus, we are faced with two choices as well. Jesus has come to rescue us from evil. The blood that was shed on that cruel cross washes away the sins of the world. However, it's up to us to respond. You can respond just like the people did, telling Jesus to go away. I want nothing to do with that gift. Or you can be just like that demon-possessed man who was healed. I want to follow you. I want to be with you. So the choice is ours. I ask this evening as we close, who are you in this story? And if you are the people and responding in a way just as the people did, I would encourage you to reconsider that response. Recognize that Jesus, with great love and compassion for every one of us, came down upon this earth to die on the cross for our sins. Your story is not over. And you can respond tonight to the gospel call that Jesus has come down upon this earth to die on the cross, and you can put the old man of sin away, put him to death, and rise to walk in newness of life as a Christian, as a baptized believer. If that is your desire tonight, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the song that our brother Nathan has chosen.